Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. We're starting a little bit early on Thursday, 7 o'clock London time.
There's been enough going on that we have plenty to talk about. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good. I'm good. Obviously, there's the judges striking down maybe the tariffs, the market reaction to that. I just had one question. Then we can kind of take it wherever you want.
Sure.
Does it f look like look just looking at some of the data today? I mean, I think home sales. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the housing market in the U.S. is starting to slow, and maybe fairly significantly. Do you agree with that, or is it more like a southern thing?
No, absolutely. I mean, with the ramp up in yields that we've had, and also I think we're getting signs that the economy is actually slowing. We got signs today, we'll get more tomorrow, and then next week's NFP. So yeah, I agree. But I would say the housing market is not as important as it used to be. Like housing investment is like 3.5 percentage point of GDP. So housing is almost more of a social than economic issue, in the sense that people can't find homes at rents or prices they are happy to pay or can afford to pay. But yeah, I mean, not a great picture, agreed.
Right. I'm just trying to save some of this stuff. And then do you think, does it feel like the jobs market is starting to slow a little bit too? Or could that also be part of it? Because obviously there's, just generally people not wanting to move or not being able to afford mortgages. But is some of it also actually people may be having to sell, which is something that I guess many people have waited for 3 years. Does it feel like the jobs market is actually starting to significantly slow?
So 100%. I mean, you just look at the data for this week. The expectation this coming week is 130,000. If you take the 3 months average, it's 155,000. The 6 months average, 193,000. So it is slowing. I mean, hopefully it's not slowing so fast that people actually have to sell their houses, because then we are, I think, in the recession scenario, but it is definitely slowing. So let's see. I've been wrong so many times on the NFP, but I'm thinking with the collapse in business and consumer confidence we've seen, and also with what I've been reading, it would make sense for the payrolls to be, significantly slower, perhaps even below expectations. No question.
Right. Okay, so something for next Friday. Okay, so yeah, so let's take it back more holistically. So everything happening from legal questions to trade to inflation, Fed. Yeah, what were your big takeaways this past week?
Biggest takeaway, probably it's a GDP data. It's showing the slowdown I was expecting based on the loss of confidence. The problem with economic data, it's very slow. I mean, markets adjust at the speed of like economics. The data is released once a month, it gets revised. The revision we had in the GDP was a very significant one, especially with personal consumption. Consumption is 70% of US GDP. So when it's revised down to 1.2% from 1.7%, which is already below trend, which was already below trend, we're talking about, a serious slowdown.
Trend is like 2.5 or higher?
About 2%.
Fine.
I mean, it was 2.5% because of the surge in immigration, but
right.
Without new immigration, 2% is a reasonable number. And so the GDP, the first quarter GDP was boosted because we had an absolutely insane increase in equipment spending in CapEx. So basically, the tariff front running, so the contribution of CapEx to growth was something like 1.4%. Usually it's like half a percentage point. So you look at the durable goods order, I mean, the core capital goods orders this week, so excluding defense and transportation, I mean, aircraft, it was minus 1.3%, which is a really low number and well below expectations. So the first GDP release was difficult to read because you had the front running and so on and so forth. But now that we've had the second release, and tomorrow we're going to get the monthly breakdown of consumption, it's clear the economy is slowing. You'd expect, I mean, given the shock we've been through in April, you'd expect a slowdown. So it's finally we are getting the data that that shows it.
Okay. And then does this affect, a week ago we were talking about, or the market was talking about this, fragility in the long end in many developed markets, particularly US and Japan. Japan, I guess, announced they will curtail selling long end bonds. Market kind of rallied, most global fixed income rallied, and now maybe we're getting weaker data in the US. And also, it looked like some France had very low CPI. And, what's your view right now on the Fed? You're thinking July or?
Yeah, absolutely. And the meeting we had today between Chair Powell and President Trump adds on the margin to my conviction. It was a very interesting meeting. There was a readout on the Fed website, but not on the White House. And the Fed was, very fact-based, very neutral, but of course making clear that there was no way the meeting reflected White House influencing monetary policy. So the readout very clear on that. But still, it's interesting. I think it was, so as the readout says, the meeting was requested by President Trump. And I think it was very much my view is that it's an attempt to reset the relationship that you've had is sort of a fairly aggressive comments, truth by the president. Then you had the Supreme Court basically preserving Fed independence through its recent ruling. So I suspect so that's clear that's established, and besides the market reaction to the threat of firing Chair Powell was such that it's clear Fed will remain independent. So I think the meeting was a way of resetting the relationship. I will read the memoirs of Chair Powell with great interest when they come out. But meanwhile, I suspect, there was a, it was probably a bit frosty, but I think both sides went through a non-emotional, technical, description of where they stand with Chair Powell saying these are the things I'm looking at. President Trump, and I think Bessent was probably there, Kevin Hassett as well, a few others explaining this is what I am trying to do. So basically, a norm, a reset, a relationship reset. And to me, it's actually adding to the risk of a cut of cuts starting in July, because if you look at recent Fed statements, they were quite hawkish and quite inconsistent in the sense that on the one hand, each time a Fed official speaks, the first thing they say is they've never seen as much uncertainty in their entire life, and then they immediately follow by saying, "Oh, we will cut after September, in start in September, before September." So they convey a sense of certainty on their on the forthcoming data when they pick a specific date from when they think they will or will not be able to cut. And the two things are completely inconsistent. So what I think we had is a bit of additional hawkishness triggered by the White House attempt to influence the Fed, which with the benefit of hindsight, I mean, I guess it's easy to say, you know, the White House was not going to be successful. But what I'm hoping is that with the
Yeah.
reset of the relationship, the Fed becomes again data-driven and will react to the
Right.
data that's starting to show
You know,
weaknesses.
you could say that maybe it was a political thing or pushing back against the administration. I mean, back-end yields were going higher during this period. You know,
Sure.
it wasn't just, you know, th there were signs that, you know, this pressure on growth may be going away if tariffs come down, and you still have less supply of workers and other things, you know, that are potentially inflationary. You do have a weaker dollar. You know, there are some things that are potentially inflationary, and they were just being. I don't see it as a. I don't know. That my view is I less see it as a political thing. I more see it as they were trying to be prudent in general. They
Well,
sure
but
were not, certainly not going down a path of cutting, you know, when the 30-year moves up, you know, 40 basis points in a week and a half or 2 weeks or something.
alternatively, you could say that the tightening of, I mean, that's not how I see it, but some people would argue that the tightening of financial conditions in the Fed says that financial condition is what transmits policy to the real economy, that it could have justified a cut. I'm not sure, but if you look at unemployment, it's exactly where it was in August last year. Inflation is lower. We've had two low prints in succession, which I agree is not enough to change the stance, but you'd want the Fed to acknowledge it. And also, if you look at what
Yeah.
happened last year, the Fed, you know, cut 100 basis points following
Yeah.
So
I'm kind of with you. I think July, you know, even though they're not, there's not that much price in, but I think I'm kind of with you that that's actually probably not a bad bet. Certainly from a risk reward standpoint to what's priced in. Sorry. All right. So let's move ahead for the upcoming week.
So
What are
it's
you looking out for? Yeah.
so we're going to get the PMIs, and as always, we have our event monitor that explains the possible market impact. It's much more of a trading than economic event because of the loose relationship with GDP. But we have that, and of course the NFP. And I will not be just looking at signs just for lower headline numbers, but they are, you know, signs that the market is softening with things like how long it takes for people to find job, what is the primary reason why people are losing their jobs, are people still entering the labor market? So that's one that's going to give us, I think, a lot of info on where the labor market is at, and I suspect it's getting weaker. And of course, you know, in terms of what happens to growth, the labor market is really the linchpin because the main source of consumer income is wage income, right? So that once we have a slowdown in the labor market, consumer income slows down, consumption slows down, and then you start getting the feedback loop from businesses and employment. So this is actually quite an important NFP print.
Sorry, I would agree. And I don't think, I'm just looking at our event monitor. Doesn't go that much, but you know, I don't think the market is pricing as much as they have in previous times. But on Monday, this will be something that we'll release, and we'll have a new event monitor for everyone to check out, which has some super cool features, a lot of what clients have been asking for. So we may be reaching out, and maybe we can go through it next week, next Friday as well.
Perfect.
Yeah, anything else?
No, that's a main event. I think what's going to happen next week also is that the administration is going to ask the Supreme Court to extend an administrative stay on the decision of the court that made the tariff illegal. And I think the Supreme Court will grant the stay, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, have a lovely Friday and weekend. Wish everyone, obviously, profitable trading. And as always, as we both always say, please reach out with any thoughts, feedback, etc. Like we said, we'll be releasing some new stuff in the coming weeks, and we'd love to get feedback, especially around event analytics and also potentially some more AI in utilizing it around central bank speeches, topic modeling, and also potentially moving on to more detail analysis per region, per regional bank, and also looking to go even eventually into a broader swath of global central banks, including emerging markets. So on
Sounds
that,
great.
yes, it's super exciting. So good luck. And happy trading.
Good luck.